On Sunday afternoons, we've embarked upon a study and consideration of the judges. And by way of introduction to that, we took a look at this, how the Lord appeared to Abram, to Isaac, to Jacob, and declared unto them, when he came unto them, he said unto them, I am the Lord. He told of future time about the children of these and of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, how he would be unto them a God, and they would be unto him a people. And then we saw and took a look about how it was that in the calling of Moses, that the Lord came unto them and says, I am the Lord. And he introduced himself to them, and they began to know him in that national way as God Almighty. They had heard about how the Lord is the God of their fathers, but they had not heard from God themselves. Remember, this is a time before there's any Bible. There's no Bible. There's no scripture at hand. And so the Lord delivers them out of Egypt. He brings them to the land of Canaan. And they rebel. That first generation rebels and won't obey the Lord. So they sojourn in the wilderness for 40 years. That generation dies off. The second generation is raised up. And then the Lord looks to take them into the promised land. Brother Moses, by his disobedience of the Lord and not speaking to the rock there at Meribah, but rather striking the rock as he did at Horeb, he sealed it to where he and Aaron would not be able to go into the promised land. He didn't sanctify. That's what the Lord says that they did. They didn't set the Lord apart in front of the children of Israel by obeying the Lord. And of course, Moses lost his cool, didn't he? And Moses was unable to lead them in. But the Lord appointed this man, Joshua, who had been the servant of Moses for these 40 years. He had been there close. He had watched the working of the Lord and how the Lord used this man and worked with this man, and how the man Moses followed the Lord and loved the Lord, was convicted by the Lord. He saw the desire of his leader, Moses. And so the Lord calls Brother Joshua to be the leader. And last time we took a look in Joshua chapter 23 and chapter 24, and we saw that Joshua is preparing this second generation for them to go into the land of Canaan. But he doesn't announce that there's going to be somebody to step into his shoes. There's not one named as Moses named Joshua, as the Lord named Joshua, and Moses therefore named Joshua, to be the next leader. But what the working of God was to be, and I believe we'll have this confirmed in our look-see this afternoon, is that it was going to be the nation answering to the Lord. The nation to follow, to serve, and to worship the Lord, and all those things that the Lord had given them through Brother Moses in those first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. They had what they needed. God had told them and declared unto them, I am the Lord, and you're my people. And you need to obey and follow the covenant that I have made with you, the promise, the agreement that I have made with you. You need to follow that, and I will be faithful to it. I will guaranteed be faithful to it. So no man named, and so they are there, and they go into Canaan, as we see here in the book of Judges. I invite you to turn your Bibles, to Judges chapter 1. Judges chapter 1, and let's read here. We see this very thing evidenced and made very, very clear in these chapters. Now, after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord. You see that? That's the way it was supposed to be. That was the design. They had a priest, didn't they? They had a high priest and other priests. They had the tabernacle, had the law of God, had the word of God, five books. They didn't need a leader anymore. to bring them from one place to another. They were at home in the land of Canaan that God had promised to Brother Abraham and Brother Isaac and Brother Jacob. And they were there now, and they were to live. And so after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, "Who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them?" And the Lord said, well, how did he say it, Brother Jim? Well, we're not told, so I guess we don't need to know. But it wasn't by Joshua. But the Lord made it apparent. He made it very clear. The Lord said, "Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand." And you know what? What happened? Judah went up. And Judah said unto Simeon, his brother, "Come up with me into my lot, that we may fight against the Canaanites, and I likewise will go with thee unto thy lot." And so Simeon went with him. And Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand. And they slew of them in Bezek 10,000 men. And they found Adonai Bezek in Bezek, and they fought against him, and they slew the Canaanites and the Perizzites. But Adonai Bezek fled, and they pursued after him and caught him and cut off his thumbs and his great toes. And Adonai Bezek said, 70 kings, having their thumbs and great toes cut off, gathered their meat under my table as I have done. I've made mention of this regarding Nebuchadnezzar and other kings of that time, and of that it was kind of a part of their pride in defeating other nations, that they would take kings of nations that they defeated and they would bring them to eat daily at their table. That they would have a host of kings that would become essentially part of their court, but would be found captives with no power. Well, this man here, Adonai Bezek, he liked to cut off their thumbs and their big toes too. As I have done, so God hath requited me. God has paid me back. And they brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died. Now the children of Judah had fought against Jerusalem and had taken it, and smitten it with the edge of the sword, and set the city on fire. And afterward the children of Judah went down to fight against the Canaanites that dwelt in the mountains and in the south and in the valley. And Judah went against the Canaanites that dwelt in Hebron. Now the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba. And they slew Sheshai and Ahiman and Talmai, and from thence he went against the inhabitants of Debir, and the name of Debir before was Kirjath-Sepher. And Caleb, you remember Brother Caleb, don't you? Brother Caleb was one of the spies, one of the 12 that was sent over to spy the land some 40 plus years ago. Caleb was one of the brethren that brought back a good report and said, "This land is something else. I mean, you won't believe. Everything the Lord's told us about this land is true. Let's go get it." But the other 10 said, "Well, they're big, they're tall, they're mighty, they're fortified. They're this, they're that, and the other. They'll kill our children. They'll take us. They'll make a mess of us." But Joshua and Caleb said, "Let's go get them. The Lord's said he's given them into our hands." And he was a man faithful. And Caleb said, verse 12, "He that smiteth Kirjath-Sepher and taketh it, to him will I give Aksa, my daughter, to wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it." So Caleb's brother, Othniel, took it, and he gave him Aksa to his daughter to wife. And it came to pass when she came to him, to Caleb, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she lighted from off her ass. And Caleb said unto her, "What wilt thou?" And she said unto him, "Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water." And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the nether springs of the inheritance that he had been given. And the children of the Kenite, Moses' father-in-law, This is some of the mixed multitude, others of Jethro's, of people of Midian that were there with the children of Israel, went up out of the city of palm trees and with the children of Judah into the wilderness of Judah, which lieth in the south of Arad, and they went and dwelt among the people. And Judah went with Simeon his brother, and they slew the Canaanites that inhabited Zephath and utterly destroyed it. And the name of the city was called Hormah. Also Judah took Gaza, or Gaza, with the coast thereof, and Ashkelon with the coast thereof, and Ekron with the coast thereof. And the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron. And they gave Hebron unto Caleb, as Moses said, and he expelled thence the three sons of Anak. And they were giants. But Caleb said, give me that mountain. He knew the Lord had given it to him, and he knew the Lord would be with him. He had faith and confidence that the Lord would do what he said he would do. So we see Judah and Simeon here. I mean, they're really on a roll, aren't they? I mean, they're on a tear, expelling the occupants of their land. You know, I've never seen this before and understood this before, how in the book of Judges that Judah is taking that lead, the tribe from which our Lord is from, a tribe that without Joshua being there before them, they heard and took the word of the Lord, and they went to what the Lord told them to do. Had confidence. This tribe of Judah was obedient to the Lord. Now, here it says in verse number 19 that they drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley because they had chariots of iron. That was at that time. What would have been the right thing for them to do? And we don't know if they did or not, but what would be the thing for them to do? To seek the face of their Lord about help to get those inhabitants out. Because what did the Lord say? This is your land, and I want everybody else out of here. And if the Lord gave the command for everybody else to be out of here, all these Canaanites, then would not the Lord help them? He would. He'd make good on his promise. And so it says this about Caleb and so on, and his success over the giants there. Verse 21. And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites. Benjamin is there mingled. One day Brother Mark will be able to throw this up on the wall, right? Benjamin is mingled up with Judah, kind of there in the center of Judah, north of the land typically attributed to Judah. You can take a look at that. Probably have a map in the back of your Bible that shows about the tribes going into Canaan. And the Jebusites were those that were synonymous with Jerusalem. So here we see what? We see here not Benjamin working, not Benjamin fighting, not Benjamin seeking the face of the Lord, but Benjamin becoming weary, giving up, losing sight, getting comfortable with the cities that they didn't build and the vineyards that they didn't plant and the olive groves that they didn't plant. Something's going on with Benjamin. They didn't drive out the Jebusites. And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwelt with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day, when this book of Judges is written. And the house of Joseph, they also went up against Bethel. Now, Ephraim and Manasseh, right? That's the house of Joseph. Joseph given a double portion. Levi absorbed, if you will, into the nation because they're the priestly line from Aaron, or Aaron, the line of Aaron are the priests, and the tribe of Levi is divided in the nation. They have no inheritance and a portion of land like the other tribes do. The Lord says he's their inheritance. He's their portion. Okay. And Brother Joseph gets a double blessing with Manasseh and Ephraim, his grandsons. Jacob, Brother Jacob saying at the time that he came to Egypt and he was with Joseph and he saw his grandsons, he said that Joseph's sons would be like his sons. He moved them up a generation in blessing. So that's the reason there's a tribe of Manasseh and a tribe of Ephraim. Okay. And so the house of Joseph, they also went up against Bethel, the house of the Lord, right? Remember about Bethel. And the Lord was with them. And the house of Joseph sent to descry Bethel. Now, the name of the city before was Luz, and we see that in other parts of the scripture. And the spies saw a man come forth out of the city, and they said unto him, "Show us, we pray thee, the entrance to the city, and we will show thee mercy." And when he showed them the entrance to the city, they smote the city with the edge of the sword, but they let go the man and all his family. And the man went in into the land of the Hittites and built a city and called the name thereof Luz. Okay, so Bethel was Luz, but this man that escaped, when you see Luz on another part of the map over the land of the Hittites, it was he that did it, which is the name thereof unto this day. So we see here Manasseh and Ephraim is faithful to obey the Lord here for this time. Verse 27, but then this, neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shean and her towns, nor Taanach and her towns. Oh, nor the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Ebelium and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns, but the Canaanites would dwell in the land. So now Manasseh has success, Ephraim has success, but then Manasseh starts laying down, starts getting comfortable. Well, who wants to load up and go over there to that city and drive all those people out of there? That's messy business. We'll just let them live there. We've got enough. They begin to forget what the Lord had told them to do, didn't they? Because the Lord was very clear. Just like the Lord is very clear in the beginning, Adam, don't eat of that tree. In the day that you eat of it, thou shalt surely die. He told him once. That's all he needed to tell him, was once. Because the Lord told him once and he meant it. The Lord had told the children of Israel several times. He told the first generation. He told the second generation. He told the leadership. Brother Moses reaffirms that over and over and over again in the book of Deuteronomy as he preaches to them before his death. But we see that the tribes begin to let down on what the Lord had told them to do. Town after town and the associated towns, they don't do what the Lord said. And then it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute. You know what we see here? We see another idea. You know what another idea will do to us? Another idea that other than what the Lord has given to us will get us in trouble. Because you know what? We don't have any ideas better than the Lord's idea. The Lord's thinking, the Lord's way, the Lord's command, the Lord's instruction. What the Lord says is first needs to be first with us. What the Lord says is second needs to be second with us. What the Lord says is third needs to be third with us. We don't need to mix up the order. But they start doing that, don't they? They come up with a better way. I know what we'll do. Rather than drive them out, we'll just start taxing them and we'll make some money off of them. It came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. Neither did Ephraim. So we saw about Manasseh, success at the beginning, but then beginning to let down. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer. But the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. Oh, they might have kept this best part of the city for themselves and put them on the outskirts, but they were supposed to be gone from the land. Driven out are the words. Sometimes the Lord would tell them to kill them all. Sometimes the Lord would tell them to drive them out. But whatever it was that the Lord told them to do, that's what they were to do. But Ephraim is now letting down. Benjamin is letting down. Manasseh is letting down. Ephraim is letting down. Verse 30, it's catching. Neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, nor the inhabitants of Nahalol, but the Canaanites dwelt among them and became tributaries. Hey, Zebulun, you know what we did up there where we're at? Oh, what's that, Ephraim? Well, we just put them to tax. We made some money off of them. I mean, easy pickings. Well, when you can keep the thumb on them, yeah, well, you gotta work on that, keep the thumb on them. Verse number 31, neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Acho, nor the inhabitants of Zidon, nor of Alab, nor of Akzib, nor of Helba, nor of Aphek, nor of Rehob. It kind of seems like it's getting worse, doesn't it? It's catching. A better idea. Different than what the Lord had said. But the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites. This is a tribe of Asher. And the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. So it sounds like Asher just kind of moved into where they were and didn't even throw any kind of fuss. Neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth-Shemesh or the inhabitants of Beth-Anath, but dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beth-Shemesh or of Beth-Anath became tributaries unto them. They made them pay toll, made them pay tax, made them pay tribute. And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountain, for they would not suffer them to come down to the valley. You know, Judah, when he thought that he needed help, he called on his brother to come and help him. After all, Simeon had the blessing of the Lord upon him too, didn't he? Yeah. And then what was the agreement? You come help me, brother, and then I'll go help you. We saw that with those that were, what was it, the tribe of Reuben and Gad, over on the east side of the Jordan. They said, this is perfect over here for cattle. Moses says, you're trying to get out of your duty. He said, no. We're going to leave our cattle here, make pens for them. Our families stay here, but we'll go fight. And they got in the front of the line and went over across Jordan to fight. They could have been a help one to another. But it seems like from what we see here, Dan just didn't even have the gumption to ask one of his brothers, but just kind of waltzed in and moved in with everybody else. And when they got the upper hand, they went ahead and taxed them, forgetting what the Lord said. As they go in at Jericho, and remember, that's where they cross over into the land across the Jordan River. Down there, all the tribes are down there around where Judah would occupy and where Benjamin would occupy. But as they spread out and they go north, you know, this one has got his land that was given to him by Lot. But then as they move on north, there's fewer of them going because more of the tribes are settled down south. And then they don't have the gumption to ask their brethren to come help them. And they just kind of take the status quo. Now, ours is not to beat up on them, but to understand soberly what was done that we might learn. The Amorites forced the children of Dan, verse 34, into the mountain, for they would not suffer them to come down to the valley. But the Amorites would dwell on Mount Heriz and Ajalon and Shealbim. Yet the hand of the house of Joseph prevailed, so they became tributaries. And the coast of the Amorites was from the going up to Akrabim from the rock and upward. Chapter 2. And the angel of the Lord, an angel of the Lord, a messenger. That's what the word angel means. We've seen this. We know from what the scriptures tell us in the New Testament that the rock from which the nation of Israel drank was Christ. the Lord was there with them, and the pillar of cloud and pillar of fire, the angel of the Lord amongst them, the promise of the angel that would go with them. We know that the scripture tells us very clearly that there's only one mediator between God and man, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has got a message to send to them, and so he's not going to hold back. He's given them what he's given them to do and pursue, and he's got a message for them, and they do hear the message. And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you go up out of Egypt. So rather than an angel, it very well may be the angel, huh? I made you go up out of Egypt and have brought you into the land which I swear unto your fathers. He's very personal about it, isn't he? And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. Never. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Like, if you pay this tribute, we won't kick you out. That's a league. Very much like the man regarding Luz. Show us the way in and we'll let you and your family go. I mean, it's a league. It's an agreement. Joshua got succored by some folks, didn't he? Remember how it was that they came, they heard about Israel coming into the land of Canaan, and they dressed up like they were from a long way away, had moldy bread, had stuff, and their tack and all their stuff is old and falling apart. And they said, oh, man, we've come from a long, long way away. So where do you come from? Said, long, long way away. And said, we heard about y'all coming and said, we're desperate. We want to make a deal with you. Turns out they were just from around the corner. Lord said, don't make any league with them. No agreements, no truces. This is your land. I've given it to you. I made you come up out of Egypt and have brought you into the land which I swear unto your fathers. Verse 1, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? You've not obeyed my voice. Why have you not obeyed my voice, the Lord says. Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, and they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. There's a reason I didn't want them mingling around you, and you mingling around them, because they're going to hurt you. And it came to pass when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. Now notice here, there's no man mediator, is there? Brother Jim, how'd the Lord do that? How'd the angel do that? I do not know, but I tell you what, it's very clear. And when the people, that second generation, heard those words of the Lord, they cried. They wept because they knew they were guilty. They're still here in a shape that they are tender. And they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man into his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. So there were those leaders amongst the nation that outlived Joshua. They were obedient during that time, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, being 110 years old, and they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, that generation that first went in, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord. What was it that was supposed to happen? The first generation was supposed to teach the second generation. And the second generation is supposed to teach the next generation. That they might be ready, that they might be remember. What is this, Daddy, that we do with the Passover? Our Lord delivered us up out of Egypt and we had no help, no hope. He brought us out of there with a strong arm and lifted up. He destroyed Egypt for our sakes. And Brother Mark brought out this morning, even when we were over there by the Red Sea, it looked like we didn't have any help or hope. And the Lord opened up the Red Sea and took us across and destroyed Pharaoh and his army for our sakes. Our Lord has delivered us to this land. He's made us promises. And son, don't you ever forget it. But evidently that didn't happen, huh? Life gets busy. Priorities get jumbled up. We think something is more important than another, and we get the priority not lined up with the priority of the Lord. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord. They didn't know the Lord. They hadn't been taught to know the Lord. Evidently, things hadn't been rehearsed unto them, or they were willful and rebellious. They knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Maybe they just hadn't been told them, huh? So much blessing, so much ease, so much prosperity. They just forgot to teach their children about who and why they were there. And now we got the third generation at hand, don't we? Verse 11, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. Well, where'd they learn to do that? Well, all those Canaanites that they didn't drive out, they were still at it. They were still doing their thing. They allowed them to do it. The Lord told them, break down their altars, take away their images, burn all that stuff, drive it out, put it in the pit, bury it, get rid of it. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord. They turned their back on him, and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. They're getting weak. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, not for them anymore. When they try to fight back, they couldn't fight back successfully because the Lord was not with them. The Lord had told them, we see in the scripture rehearsed, one would what, drive away 100 and two drive away 1,000? But how can that be? Well, when it's one with the Lord or the Lord with one, it'll be done. And when it's two with the Lord in the midst, there's no problem. But when they give the honor and glory of the Lord unto Baal or unto Ashtaroth, the Lord will back off. He's jealous. He will not share his glory with any other. And the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said. And as the Lord had sworn unto them, he made a promise. He swore by his own name that that's what he would do. And they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges. So here we are. The Lord raised up judges because of all this. I am the Lord your God. Serve me. Walk before me. Obey me. And you know what? It could have been if they would have just kept the covenant. They had every provision. They had it very easy. They always had the power of God, didn't they? But they went and they were tempted, they succumbed, they yielded unto the way of the world and all those things that were there. The Canaanites paraded in front of them, and they went a-whoring, as the Lord says, after that. Rather than obeying the goodness, the sweetness, the blessedness of the Lord. So the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges. They wouldn't listen. They wouldn't hearken to the situation that had got them into the mess, and then the judge leading them out of the mess, and the Lord blessing. But they went whoring after other gods and bound themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord. But they did not so, this generation. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. The Lord was compassionate and merciful. They've made a mess about what I've given them to them. I'm going to bring this punishment upon them, this chastisement by these inhabitants of the land, just like I promised them. And then after that goes on for a while and they're moaning and groaning and carrying on about this old mess. Okay, I'm going to give them some relief because they're his people. He will not quit them. He will not quit them. But he is sore displeased with them. It repented the Lord because of their groanings. Verse 19, and it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned. And this is the cycle you see through this entire book. 450 years of up the hill, down in the pit. Up the hill, down. It's a roller coaster. It's a roller coaster that is measured in decades. It's sad. Lord, help us that we learn what we need to learn from this. They returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers. It's a generational thing. And following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them, they cease not from their own doings nor from their stubborn way. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he said, because that this people hath transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice. You hear that? The anger of the Lord's hot. And he said, because this people hath transgressed my covenant, the deal that he had made with them, the agreement, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died. We got to a point, it came to a point of too late. Until that time, they could have been driven out. But the Lord says, it's done. They're not going to be driven out now. I'm going to leave them. I'm going to leave them. Yeah, that can happen to us. We can get to points of too late to go back from here. When the Lord gives us understanding about his will and his way and his in our lives, when he helps us with blessing and answering prayers that we prayed that he might just do different things for us in his work and his service and growing up in the Lord and all those things. And then we look to the things of the world. We go away that we choose rather than what the Lord says. We can get to too late, and there will be. I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel. I'm going to prove her. I'm going to try her, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not. I'm going to put them to the test. You know, that's the way it is in our lives. The Lord, some years ago, taught me that. Things in our lives as the children of the Lord, it's either of the Lord or it's a test. It's either of the Lord or a test. And we need to find out what it is. If it's what the Lord wants us to do, we need to do it. If it's a test, we need to do what would be pleasing to the Lord and follow after him. The Lord says, I'm going to take these, I'm going to leave them here, and I'm going to prove my nation whether they're going to walk in my ways or not. Therefore, the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. Lord willing, next time we're going to go on and we're going to start seeing about these judges. Keep track of the timeline that's at hand. Like I said, it's a span of 450 years. 450 years from Brother Joshua all the way to the next serious, I'll call it this way, the next serious prophet of the Lord Samuel. There are some other prophets in there. We'll see about those in the book of Judges. But 450 years of roller coaster. I mean, you know, that's nearly twice as long as our country's been in existence. May the Lord help us that we follow our Lord. Know His will for our lives. Know His will for our church. And follow Him in what He wants for us. You and I, we've got a great blessing today. We've got it right here, don't we? We've got His, if you will, general will about walk and about service, about things in the church and the work that He's given us to do in the church and what we're all to be a part of as members of His church, about living our lives, how to raise our families, how to be a good worker, how to be a good child, representative of Him and good witness. It's all right here. Particular will for your life. I preached on this in time past. You're going to have to go to the Lord for it. Going to make sure you have to get. We're going to have to make sure we get on the right wavelength with the Lord. Understand what His leadership is. It's not a thing of whether the Lord's going to lead or not. He's promised He will lead His children. The trick is whether we understand the leadership or not. And may the Lord help us that we would.